This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Kip Allen.
And I'm Andy Bates.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
the United States is unique in many ways. For example, while our people are deeply religious, our government is strictly secular. Foreigners often don't understand this concept. I'm Kip Allen, and I'll have more on this topic later in the broadcast.
How can we use internet media as a resource for the sake of the gospel?
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടി ആകുന്നു. യ വിശ്വ ലൂത്രൻ സമാചാർ ഹെ.
Dr. Tobin Grant is a professor of political science at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. He's closely associated with the State Department's summer educational program, which is designed to familiarize foreign students about things American. Professor Grant says that there are many misconceptions about the role of religion in the United States.
I think the biggest misconception is that in a lot of countries, religion and the government are closely tied together. And so they assume that because most Americans are Christian and presidents and politicians use religious language, that there's a closer tie between Christianity and the government than the U.S.
In a recent lecture presentation before a group of foreign students from Azerbaijan, Turkey, Georgia, and Armenia, he outlined specific things common to other countries that are not present in the United States.
In some countries, your religion is on your passport or on your government ID, or there's a government or there's a ministry of religion that regulates religion, or that religious groups have to register and you have to be an official religious group.
None of this happens here. The extent of secularization of the American government surprises many of the foreign students.
Our government is a lot more secular than many foreign students expect.
In most of the world, religion is embedded to one degree or another in government. In certain Middle Eastern countries, religion and government are inseparable. Even in Western Europe, many countries have an official religion, such as the Anglican Church in Britain.
The UK, it was only in the last 10 years that I believe Norway stopped having everyone baptized. Countries have official religion.
In some countries, religion and nationalism are intermixed. Professor Grant notes that in Italy, public displays of religion have support from some groups that are normally considered hostile to religion.
There was a case in Italy recently, within the past few years, of questions about whether or not crucifixes should be up on the walls in public schools. And some of the biggest backers of it were communists and socialists who are very anti-religion, but they just saw the Catholic Church as part of being Italian.
Even in countries that have religious freedom, there's often one religion that is, well, first among equals.
What often happens in countries is that there might be religious freedom and other groups can form, but there'd be one group that has preferential status.
This can mean that while non-official religions are tolerated, the official faith receives governmental support.
In most other countries, you have essentially a state-run monopoly that the state actively supports and provides money to religion.
Americans are a religious people on the whole, but this is not reflected in our government.
We have a lot of religion involved because the people are more religious, but we have less institutional involvement in government.
Not only is there no official state religion in the United States, Article 6 of the Constitution specifically states that no religious test will ever be required to hold public office.
You don't have an official state church. There's no mention of religion in the Constitution except to say, keep it out, no religious test, and that sort of thing. And so there's a lot of, so it takes a while for students to really appreciate this.
Professor Grant says this lack of official governmental support puzzles many foreign students. For example, they don't understand how religious groups can survive without governmental financial subsidy.
This is one of the things that I have to tell students, because once they start to think about it, they're like, but where does your religion, where do these religious groups get their money? And they can't understand that you could have this many churches and synagogues and mosques operate based on donations.
Americans are a generous people. Professor Grant says that we as a people donate $100 billion a year to religious organizations and charities. These religious organizations perform many of the functions that government does in other countries.
But they do know that Americans tend to give money and donate money just in general to a lot of nonprofits, in part because of what government doesn't do. And so in other countries, things that government would do, so people pay taxes for, and here it's more donations-based, but that would include regular religious activities as well, a lot of social safety net type work and charity work.
The United States was founded by a polyglot of faiths. From the very beginning, the framers wanted to make sure that all faiths would be respected.
Also, too, just the amount of diversity and the fact that the government doesn't actively regulate religion, it puts everybody on an equal playing field religiously.
This rich religious diversity is not typical in the world, where religion is often linked to country, ethnicity, or class.
Most places in Europe, in part because of the wars, regions were decidedly one religion or one sect, and that was pretty much it. And even if they allowed other sects and other religions, there was definitely a preferred group that was the official group that received the endorsement of government and the state.
The founding fathers learned, and they sought to avoid the problems of Europe, specifically religious conflict.
That was one of the goals of setting up the Constitution the way that it was, and the religious freedom originally was to avoid all those sort of fights that had been raging in Europe over the previous hundreds of years.
One thing in particular that puzzles many foreign students, according to Professor Grant, is the support of the American people and government for the state of Israel.
They look and they can't figure out why the U.S. would support Israel and with such fervor. And in fact, a lot of people who do international relations are like, and most of the time it's like, why would a power as great as the U.S. care about a country so small?
Students from Islamic countries are especially puzzled by the support.
This is particularly true of students from Muslim countries, but I've seen it with groups from Southeast Asia and other places. But it just tends to come up as more of a hot button issue with the groups that we have from Muslim countries like Pakistan or Azerbaijan or something like that.
Professor Grant says many students from Muslim countries believe conspiracy theories about American support for Israel.
And so the Muslim students, or even if they're not Muslim, if they're coming from Muslim countries, oftentimes they just go to a conspiracy theory of, well, it must be Jewish bankers who are bankrolling this and paying off politicians, and that's how they're getting the support, because they can't figure out any other reason.
Professor Grant explains to the students that the support for Israel is part of the American experience.
Part of it is coming out of World War II, and part of it is, ties with another democratic country. But a lot of it is that you have Christians who are highly supportive of Jewish people, and that you actually have Christian Zionists in the U.S.
The tradition of tolerance in the United States has led many religions to our shores. As Lutherans, this gives us the opportunity to fulfill Jesus' call to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has brought the nations to our shores. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
bear. That's what we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us live, streaming, archived.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer, on Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
At the 2013 Rural and Small Town Mission Conference of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Reverend Jonathan Fisk of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, was asked to present on the use of internet media in the church. Having researched media ecology, Pastor Fisk explained and dispelled myths about the internet and what it can and cannot do.
Things that are good in the first article created world that God made, things that he gave us as gifts, aren't necessarily good for everything. And so our task as Christians, if we're going to use them in service of the church, is to learn what they're good for. The internet, radio, TV, they're not good for everything. They're good for certain kinds of communication. To realize that the internet isn't maybe the silver bullet that you think it is, that blogging is kind of already dead in many ways. That just putting up something on your website isn't necessarily going to pull visitors in. So what the internet won't do by itself, but then what it does do, it's an advanced communication tool that is incredibly powerful for spreading ideas. But then recognizing it does this work without you. And so you can't make the internet spread your ideas. The internet will spread your ideas if your ideas are worth spreading, if people think they're worth sharing. And so the goal of a pastor, a Christian, a person who wants to use the internet in any type of Christianity, is to make sure that whatever you're putting out there is of high value, of high quality, so that people will like it, will share it, and then more people will hear it.
So what does the internet have to do with being Lutheran?
And whether you're talking about the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, what baptism is, what the Lord's Supper is, this stuff is powerful. And so I think we're really well placed to embrace who we are, and this medium is going to do what radio did a long time ago, terrestrial radio with Lutheran Hour Ministries. It was catapulted. Why? Because he was preaching Christ. Now he was preaching Christ crucified. So to recapture that and recognize the internet's good for that.
How can internet media be useful for the church, especially small congregations?
Not everybody has to be the one making the media. You can also just use the media that's out there, whether it's KFUO, whether it's Issues Etc., whether it's Pirate Christian Radio, whether it's Worldview Everlasting. You've got others out there creating discipleship materials that can be used all week long. When people find this stuff and start using it, they devour it. They can't get enough of it. Our best members at Bethany, our most committed young members at Bethany, are all people who listen to one form or another of Lutheran podcast radio. And as a result of it, they're more committed. They're not less committed to Bethany. They don't think Todd Wilkin is a better pastor than their pastors. They come to Bethany and they love what, because we're saying the same thing that's being said on Lutheran radio.
Podcasts have been described as a successful medium. Why is it attractive to young people?
I can't be somewhere at 3:30 in the afternoon every day, 5 days a week. Even though I do work in an office, I also have stuff out of the office I got to do. Podcasting allows me as an individual, whether through my iPhone or just through the internet website, to go and find the shows that I want to listen to or watch. And I do this on TV. Netflix does this. Netflix has just made millions on this, to go and find what I want to watch when I want to watch it, hit click, and there it goes. This is the way that young people view media, period, now.
What makes internet media work?
if I hear about something from a friend, you need to watch this show, I go watch it. And this gets back to that publish then filter reality, that quality floats on the internet, and it floats by word of mouth. And so by putting out something that's worth hearing, you're going to have people pass it on and then listen to it.
How can we use internet media as a resource for the sake of the gospel?
We have been blessed with so much wealth, and I fear that we've made an idol out of these things. At the same time, some of this, I think, has to do with a loss of Lutheran identity. We don't realize the gold that we have in our theology, and it hasn't been taught in some circles for a long time, and so I don't blame individuals for that. But, you know, I did not read the Augsburg Confession or the Large Catechism until I was at the seminary. As a young Lutheran man thinking about going to seminary, how is it that I've never been given these things to read before? If we have good stuff, let's get it out there. We have these resources. We have a publishing house that's ours. We have a radio station that's ours. Let's recapture these and use them for the putting the content out that we know it changed the world 500 years ago. It still will do that. Let's speak it fresh in these new mediums, and it'll do something.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home, or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Well, hello there. We're the Looney Lutherans on tour with our new cookbook, Use Your Food.
A guide to healthy living inside and out.
From our kitchen to yours.
Eat like a Lutheran.
I'm Lois Jensen.
I'm Ginger Johnson.
And I'm Bella Anderson, Italian by birth, Lutheran by marriage.
We've been taking our Ford LTD on a tour across the country to talk about healthy living the Lutheran way. Using items from your very own kitchen, you can create a healthy body, a healthy mind, and a healthy heart.
Of course, even if you aren't Lutheran, our tips will work for you.
Ready, gals? A one, a two, a one, two, three.
We are the Looney Lutherans, wacky, crazy Lutherans.
We serve Jell-O on the side,
make hot dishes with pride.
We're the Looney Lutherans.
I am Ginger Johnson with an O and not an E.
I am Bella Anderson, my mom's from Italy.
I am Lois Jensen, the tallest of the three. We're musketeers.
Been friends for years.
Stand together steadfastly.
A one, two, three.
We are the Looney Lutherans. Sometimes goofy Lutherans.
We like to clap on one and three.
Make our bars and drink coffee.
We are so loony.
Stir our coffee with a spoonie.
This is our little toonie.
Stole it from a cartoonie.
I love George Clooney.
Oh, we're the Looney Lutherans. Now let's start the show. Amen.
Let's go, girls.
I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise, really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout. Ignore my husband. wishes, leave the dirty dishes and all the ironing behind. I ain't gonna act liturgically correct. I only wanna have a good time. The worst thing about being a Lutheran is we feel guilty if we're having any fun. Oh, 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 go totally crazy. Forget that we're ladies.
Men's shirts, short skirts.
Oh, 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 really go on, yeah, a Catholic for a while.
Oh, 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 get in the action.
Show reaction.
Color my hair, do what I dare.
Oh, 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 I wanna be free, yeah, feel the way I feel.
Girls, we can't, cause we're Lutheran.
Need a break tonight. We're gonna take the chance to get out on the town. We don't need romance, we only wanna dance. We're gonna put our aprons down. The worst thing about being a Lutheran is we feel guilty if we're having any fun, fun.
Oh, 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 go totally crazy.
Thing about being a Lutheran is we feel guilty if we're having any fun, fun, fun. Oh, 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 go totally crazy. Forget that we're ladies. Men's shirts, short skirts. Oh, 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 really go wild, yeah, a Catholic for a while. Oh, 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 get in the action. Show a reaction. Color my hair, do what I dare.
It's fun to shake it for a second, though, isn't it?
Just for a second. I remember where I put my tambourine.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@KFUO.org.